Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This month we're focusing on the beginning of the three most important years in history, the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First, we talk about his first public appearance at his baptism, where he's anointed as our prophet, priest, and king. Then we talked about his first sermon, "The Kingdom of God is Near. Repent and Believe the Gospel." Last week we talked about his first disciple, the first of the 12 that we know that met Jesus and believed in him as the Messiah. His name was Andrew. And Andrew invited his brother Peter also to become Jesus' disciple. And today we finish our sermon series by talking about his first miracle that he performed, changing water into wine at Cana in Galilee. Now, this miracle is important for lots of reasons. I think we're just going to focus on one reason that it's important for us today. It shows that the Messiah is here to bring abundance. Jesus says in John 10, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Remember, there are two spiritual kingdoms at war, the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of God. The kingdom of darkness is led by the thief, the devil. The devil, the leader of the kingdom of darkness, wants to do three things. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. That's what he's all about. The kingdom of God is led by the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Jesus comes to bring something called the abundant life. He wants us to have life and have it to the full. Or as we used to say, have it to the max. And when he's talking about having it to the full, having a full abundant life, he means quality and quantity. He wants to make our life better, and he wants to make our life longer. In fact, he wants to make our life eternal. So this first miracle that Jesus brings is a miracle of abundance. It's a sign for his disciples and for us that he brings life and he brings it abundantly. Let me share with you four ways that Jesus, the Messiah, brings an abundant life. Number one, the Messiah brings an abundant gift. John 2, verse 6, "Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons." The occasion for the first miracle of Jesus is a wedding. Whose wedding? We don't know. Mary, though, the mother of Jesus, is very involved in the wedding and the preparations for the wedding. Jesus and his disciples are invited to the wedding. While the wedding celebration is going on, they run out of wine. Now, this is a bad situation for the couple. Jewish weddings in those days were meant to last days, not just a few hours. Running out of wine early was a disaster. This is a problem. And Mary knows that Jesus, her son, is the ultimate problem solver. So she approaches him and says, "They have no more wine." Jesus' answer is interesting. He tells her that his hour has not yet come. But Mary trusts Jesus, and she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She is a great example of faith and trust in the Lord. Now, there are six stone water jars there that hold between 20 and 30 gallons each. Jesus tells the servants to fill them with water to the brim, completely full. They do so, and he tells them to draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And when the master of the feast tasted it, it had become wine. Not just wine, any wine, good wine, really good wine. Now that's an abundant gift. It is abundant both in quality and in quantity. The quality of the wine is fantastic. It's not surprising, since Jesus is the creator himself. Jesus invented wine, so obviously it's going to be great. But look at the quantity. Let's do some math. Six stone jars times 30 gallons equals 180 gallons of wine that Jesus gave to this couple. 180 gallons equals 900 bottles of wine. Now, if you figure a good bottle of wine today goes for about $50, that would be a gift of 900 bottles times $50 a bottle is $45,000. Jesus gave them in today's money $45,000 worth of wine. That is quite a wedding gift. It's an abundant gift in both quality and in quantity. And that's what the Messiah does. He brings abundance and still does so today. Let me share with you three of those ways that Jesus makes our life abundant. Point number two, abundant blessings. Psalm 31, verse 19, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness God's goodness is abundant, which means it's plentiful, rich, overflowing, inexhaustible. Pick your favorite word. God's goodness is abundant and it is never ending. I guarantee you, if you take time to think about it, you will never run out of things that you can thank God for, because God gives us so many good things. He gives us good things like food on the table, not just one kind of food. You go to Hy-Vee or Fairway or wherever you like to shop, look at the abundance of the different kinds of food. If it gives you a roof over your head, I bet this last couple of weeks you're glad to have a dry, warm house or apartment when the temperature dropped to negative 17 a couple of weeks ago. He gives us clothing on our backs to keep us warm in this time of year. He gives us shoes on our feet. He gives us transportation to get around. He gives us everything we need for this body and life. He gives us so many good things. He also gives us so much to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God gives us everything for our enjoyment. What does he give us? He gives us meaningful work so that we can serve others and make a living at the same time. He gives us hobbies and interests outside of work. He gives us the ability to play games with others. He gives us art. He gives us music. He gives us drama. He gives us the beauty of creation. He gives us green pastures, still waters, verdant forests, Rocky Mountain majesties, flowing waters, beautiful beaches, deep oceans. He gives us such an incredible variety, so much that God gives us to simply enjoy. And of course, he gives us things. He gives us so much to enjoy. He also gives us wonderful people in our life. Parents who gave us life. He gives us family and friends of all sorts of types. He gives us teachers, doctors, nurses, firefighters, police officers, other people who help us and make a difference in our life. He gives us our church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. All of these things he gives to us freely out of his divine fatherly goodness and all of his mercy. We have received blessing upon blessing, gift upon gift from the Lord. As James tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. But even greater than all those are the spiritual gifts he gives to us, especially his abundant grace to sinners like us. Number 3, abundant grace. John 1 verse 16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As sinners, we know we've broken all 10 of God's commandments. We are in need of grace. We are in need of forgiveness for our sins. We need lots of grace, abundant grace, amazing grace. And that's exactly what God gives us in Christ Jesus. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. As Christians, we know it's not by works that we're saved. It's entirely based on the merits of Jesus Christ. It is by grace we have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, so that no one can boast. And even though we sin much, God's grace abounds that much more. That's what abundant means. It means that it abounds all around us. We abound in grace. We live each day surrounded by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul knew all about that. He considered himself the chief of all sinners because he was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. But Paul knows the grace of our Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:14 and 15 says, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying that is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And that's also our experience. We come before God here in this place as chiefs of sinners, as the worst of sinners. And what we receive is God's grace. We've sinned against God in our thoughts, words, and deeds. We are sinners who deserve punishment now and for eternity. But instead of receiving judgment, we receive grace, grace upon grace. Over and over again in the worship service, Jesus tells us that he forgives us. He says, I forgive you. Jesus says, I forgive you in the confession of absolution at the beginning of church. Jesus tells us, I forgive you in the scripture readings. Jesus tells us, I forgive you in the sermon. Jesus tells us, I forgive you when we come forward to the Holy Supper. We receive grace upon grace. Jesus tells us time and again in this place, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. We have received grace upon grace. We've received abundant grace, and abundant grace leads us to abundant joy. He wants us to fill our lives with his blessings, his grace, and his joy. That's number four, abundant joy. John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be, wait for it, full. That's the same way Jesus wanted the jars to be, right? Jesus didn't fill up the jars halfway, or, you know, 75% and say, oh, that's plenty. They don't need that much wine. He filled them full because that's who he is. He is gracious. He is generous. He is the one who brings abundance in quantity and in quality. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I've spoken these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be about 70% full. No, he doesn't say that. That your joy may be full, 100%, to the point where it starts overflowing. Now, you might think that's impossible in this world. I hear what you're saying. We live in a world poisoned by sin, full of pain, death, and suffering. There's definitely a time for weeping in this world. Jesus himself shows that. Shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Romans 12:15 tells us to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, there's a time for everything, a time to weep and a time to laugh. So, of course, there are definitely appropriate times to weep. And it's important that we grieve and weep and experience sadness in this world. But as bad things might get in this world, there's always a reason for joy. Our joy is not based on our circumstances or on what's happening around us. Our joy is based on the Lord and in his abundant goodness. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. And of course, Psalm 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see, the mourning and the weeping of this world is necessary, but it's only for a short time. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and defeated death for us, and nothing the devil can do can change that. So we have everlasting life. Because Christ has been raised, we too shall be raised. Because Christ's tomb is empty, our tomb will be empty as well. God has prepared us to live in the eternal joys of heaven. He's filled us with joy, but not for a lifetime, but for eternity. Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, John 15, 11, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus comes and he brings to us the abundant life. What does he bring? He brings abundant blessings, abundant grace, and abundant joy. A thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.